Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
In studio.
Whoop, whoop. It's only been a week, James.
It has only been a week, but it was too long. It's good to have you back. We're looking forward to having some fun today with you, everybody. We're going to give you a chance to win some River Kings tickets between now Ooh. And the end of the show.
All right.
Be listening for that. We're also going to give you a chance to be in on this ham trivia that we've got. Our friends at Quality Foods are giving us a chance to give away some free ham.
We have a fun question today.
It's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to that. Be listening for it between now and 10 o'clock. And we'll get into our schedule in a little bit as well. We'll have some fun with that. Got some other stories, too, I want to get into with you, Melissa. And maybe even some random facts, some entertainment news. We'll see what we can get ourselves into.
Of course. Trouble.
Yes, basically. otherwise, usual, unusual show, as always, for you here. We'll get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Good Stories of the Day, That Ain't Right Stories, and plenty more lined up for you. How you doing today, Melissa?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. Right on.
Can't complain too much. Nobody listens.
It's one of the oldest ones, but it always works, doesn't it? That just always works. Nobody listens anyway. No, it's a good one. We have to come up with new ones, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll
the
come
tried
up
and true, though.
Okay. So let's do that. Let's think of some.
Okay.
Not instantly right this second, but, you know.
I was just going to rattle like five off for you, James.
Oh, please go right ahead.
I'm kidding.
You got them.
No, yeah. It's too early. Don't put me on the spot, man.
That's what I was trying not to do. we got the other things I want to get into with you as well, like this right here. So this one comes to us from Wisconsin Public Radio, and we send a big shout out to Julian Kim. It's if it's mindless been watching television without worrying about the time. It's eating snacks in bed without care about leftover crumbs. Mm-hmm. And it's wearing the same pair of pajamas all week while working from home. If you are any of these things apply to you, or if you're interested in any of these things, welcome to Goblin Mode.
Goblin mode.
Goblin mode. If that is an unfamiliar term to you out there, it is going to become a new one. It's going to be in your lexicon now, at least. The slang term is defined as a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy, typically in a way that rejects special norms or expectations. This year, Oxford Languages, the creators of the Oxford English Dictionary, titled Goblin Mode as the 2022 Word of the Year. Meaning it best reflected the ethos and mood of the past 12 months.
Well, they're not wrong.
People are embracing their inner goblin. The term first appeared on Twitter back in 2009, but didn't go viral until 2022, according to Oxford Languages. It captured the prevailing mood of individuals who rejected the idea of returning to, quote, normal life or rebelling against the increasingly unattainable hierarchy or standards or the basically trying to push back on the whole 2.5 kids, white picket fence, kind of like the idea that that can never happen for them. So they're just going all out on this round.
Okay.
The slang particularly struck the chord with people who felt disillusioned by the third year of the pandemic and the ongoing political upheavals around the world. In response, they are rejecting social expectations and making their own rules on how to live.
Okay. I can't really blame them. Except I am going to push back against the crumbs in bed. Can't do it. Can't do it.
I can't sleep like that.
No.
I mean, I have a hard enough time sleeping as it is.
Right.
Let alone if there's a...
Crumb?
You know, yeah.
Crumbs?
Yeah,
no.
A nasty bed.
No, thank
you. Can't do it. I think that's a good point. I think that I think some of this stuff is very understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, it's kind of like grow up. Like,
you
I'm
gotta
sorry.
Draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I want people to be able to let loose, and I think that you know, we talk a good game about mental health. Well, taking breaks and decompressing or unplugging from society, like these things we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
This is a little bit more though, just kind of self indulged.
And then just taking it beyond what. is good for your mental health.
Yeah, would you say, okay, so like the mental health I was just talking about there, isn't that, wouldn't you say that's almost just as much for us as them? That if you can't take care of somebody if your own backyard isn't taken care of. So
correct.
If you take these mental health breaks and you know, you unwind or unplug or anything like that, we encourage you to do that for yourself, but you can make the argument it's just as much for the people in your life as well.
Yeah.
You're better off. The more better you are, they're going to be. Mm-hmm. But this goblin mode thing is all about
it's them. All about you,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah. It's just you're decompressing just because I just feel like decompressing. I don't want to deal with politics. I don't want to deal with this. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, who
just
wouldn't want
your
that.
Head in the sand.
Yeah, that sounds great if you're six. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, you can't get away with that as an adult. I'm sorry.
No,
like,
not really.
This world only works if we work together. Mm-hmm. You see what happens when we don't. Like, it's very childish to me. I don't find it lazy or any of these terms. I've seen lazy. I've worked with lazy. I've known lazy and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is selfish. This is just like downright childish to me. And lame. And
yeah.
really lame. And boring. Like
and stinky.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't understand who, I could understand the appeal to this for an hour. Like, an hour sounds
or
great.
Or maybe a week.
Sure.
Like,
sure,
you know, you could indulge in it for a week. Well, okay, so but working from home,
yeah.
I have to get dressed. I don't yeah. just keep my pajamas on. I might yeah. not wear what I would wear going out of the house to work,
mm-hmm.
but I get dressed.
Yeah.
I eat breakfast, mm-hmm. not in bed, because
right,
I can't,
right.
can't handle crumbs in my bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a difference between working from home and what they're talking about here, goblin mode.
Right.
Like you said, it's very self-indulgent, very selfish, and I don't think it's going to be good for humanity.
It doesn't, and I got to think that like all trends and all these things, it's going to have its ups and downs. It's going to go this way or that way. I don't know the statistics of how many people are actually living goblin mode or, you know, have gone all full goblin. You never go full goblin. You never go. I don't know. I don't know about that one. But I do have one last thing about this topic. So the term goblin mode, are we being offensive to goblins?
Quite possibly.
I mean, a goblin is a small, grotesque, monstrous creature that appears in folklore of multiple European cultures. This, according to the Oxford definition of a goblin. I mean, I see nothing in there about being lazy. They seem actually like very hardworking creatures. They actually seem very, very dedicated. There's a lot of stories about goblins out there. It seems a little bit like, wait a minute, like how are the selfish part I get,
mm-hmm.
but I see nothing in here about them being selfish. Monsters, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grotesque, sure. Little eye of the beholder thing there, maybe. I don't know. But I see nothing about them being selfish or lazy or anything.
Well, you know, and folklore varies from area to area,
true,
and
true.
From author to author, because I've read stories about goblins who live under mountains,
right,
and
right.
hoard treasure,
well,
and
right.
attack dragons to now, steal treasure.
Okay, but none of that sounded lazy to me.
No,
all that's I mean, you're
or eating
a,
in bed.
If you're attacking a dragon, you're a pretty motivated creature. you've got some things going on in your life.
I mean,
your things
to
are
steal
happening.
Treasure. So
sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
It's kind of cowardly in some ways.
You're just splitting hairs now. You're just
and I don't see anywhere that they wear pajamas for weeks on end. They probably don't even wear clothes.
I like the idea of getting into these heated debates about folk characters.
That's not what a goblin looks like, James.
As if we, yeah, right. As if we don't have enough divisiveness nowadays. That is not what a goblin stands for. How dare you take shots at goblins? I don't know. I really don't. But I am very thankful to say I can't think of anybody I know, whether it's people I teach as far as my students or anything like that. That are in this goblin mode. But I will say, if there's anybody close to this, I'm not going to call out names here or anything, but it's people a lot older than younger people that I know.
Hmm.
People who have completely, I don't know any, like, the younger people that I know, and this isn't to say they're all of them, obviously, mm-hmm. but just the ones that I've been around, they're engaged. Like, they're anything but lazy. Maybe they don't want to work 70 hours a week like I do or that kind of thing, but they're still working full-time jobs, mm-hmm. and they're just as engaged in politics and all these other things as you could ask of a citizen.
Well, to be able to be engaged in politics and do that kind of other things outside of work, you need time outside of work.
Yeah.
You need to be able to work a 40-hour week that allows you to live, that allows you to pay your bills, pay your rent, buy food to put on your table, pay for a car,
yeah,
and then also be involved in your community and in politics. You can't do that working 70, 80 hours a week.
Oh, and yeah, have a life.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, right.
You know. Minor things that
also
all humans want.
Also try to procreate, you know, also try to have a life, try to do something, you know.
Yes.
But the people that I know that are doing this are, because I keep thinking of the detached part. I'm done with politics. I'm done with caring about the environment. I'm done with caring about these things. It's too much. They're
overwhelmed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to get that way.
I get that, sure. And I get it for an hour or two or a day mm-hmm. or two, like you said, a week or whatever. But the idea of doing that on a consistent basis is not only childish and lazy to me, but it's lame. It's like one of at a certain level, you've got to grow up. I'm sorry. This is the world we live in. You've got to be a part of it or go ahead and find a spot in the mountains somewhere and everything and have a good time. Then more power to you. I wish you well with it.
Well,
but
doing that is simply caving to what the people who are pouring ridiculous amounts of money into politics want you to do. They want you to disengage. They want you to not be part of this political process because they control it. They do, ultimately, with their massive amounts of money. Look at what just got poured into the state of Wisconsin for our state races.
Out of state money that came into this state. Yeah.
Yeah. $93 million.
And it's funny, you know, all this talk about inflation and everything, and yet nobody wants to talk about the money in politics. Huh. Nobody wants to get into that. Nobody wants to try to even get into the idea of removing even some money out of politics. Imagine if we even tried to do that. Okay, you can't put out-of-state money into another state's election. And even just trying to do something like that right now, they would laugh me out of Washington, out of Madison, out of any city I went into trying to get that.
They couldn't give 7 sick days to rail workers.
Yeah.
Seven.
Meanwhile, what politician works 24, like actually works a full-time job? Like, really? Come on. Like,
they have a pretty unlimited sick days. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know.
all these things, and you want to get detached? When we got this going on, when these kind of things are happening, like, I'm sorry, it takes all of us. We need everybody engaged in these things. And this whole goblin mode thing, it just don't work. It's not something that you want to take a day off. You want to take a week off? Go for it. More power to you. Get back in the game. Come back mm-hmm. refreshed and ready to go, because there is too much at stake right mm-hmm. now for you to be in goblin mode. Like, you got to be in cutthroat mode or full fledged mode. Or,
like you said, I think that is
beast
just
mode.
Complimentary, obviously.
Penguin
not, but to goblins. I think they could have picked a better.
Just. Why goblins?
Troll. How about troll mode?
I'm not, you know what? Trolls are really big. I'm not messing with trolls. Not doing it. They're huge. They're humongous. Goblin, I feel like one-on-one. Yeah, yeah. But
they had a name for the seven deadly sins, you know, just one name.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be a better mode.
I feel like Twitter really messed this whole thing up, though, like usual, because this type of personality type being called a goblin, that doesn't make any sense to me, and I can't get past that.
No, because when I think goblin, I think little monster that steals things.
It's my goblin impression. Now that was goblinism. That was not fair. It's not how goblins talk. That's not
poor goblins.
I can't believe we made 20 minutes out of that. That's awesome. I was trying to see how much we can make out of that. That was a fun conversation.
Sure,
though. That was good.
Why not?
It's a good start.
Fairy tales with James and Mel in the morning.
Next, we're going over unicorns, everybody. That's what's next.
Making the world happy and bright.
Well, Treat, I like the idea of doing this like heavy political talk, but about like those kind of topics.
Fairy tale.
Next up, are unicorns real? Should their horns be taxed? We'll come by. I think we should be taxing unicorn horns.
Do they really create rainbows?
I object. They do not create rainbows. How dare you say...
Would you get off the horse, please?
Nice. Well played. On that note, we'll go to commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're all having a great morning out there. 7:21 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. It is time for us to dive into our national day of calendar for this December 6th, 2022. Oh, 2022, what happened to you? Where did you go? Where have you been? It feels like it was just March. It feels like it was... It is National Miners Day.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
It is important.
Mm. Now, there is still a lot of work that needs to be done mining-wise. You know, I know that I think a lot of people immediately will go to coal and, you know, kind of the... That we're moving away from coal every day more and more and everything, but there's still tons of mining that goes on.
Especially around the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where safety measures are not in place. They have young children in some areas doing this.
Before we looked up, we moved down. You know, the history of mining reaches into prehistory, where resources such as flint were removed from the earth to produce the highest quality tools of the age. At the time, as time went on, more and more was understood about the nature of our areas and our cores and how to process them, gold, turquoise, copper, all the things that we have in our earth. It's as if everything we need is right here. It's weird. It's but we, you know, didn't
we
find this
to take
out.
Care of it.
We didn't get a playbook. There was no how-to, you know, Earth.
Right.
You know, there was no book, you know, at least nobody gave us the manual. If there was one, somebody lost it. So figuring these things out has all been human, either, you know, trial and error or just, you know, dumb luck.
And sometimes in some cases, yeah.
Finding something and everything. Hey, what's this shiny thing? Oh my gosh, that's gold. We should go out west. There's stuff out there out west. There's mining, digging, that's how we find these things, how we figured it out, how we found out what this earth is really. It's not just a rock we stand on. It's got much more to it.
Yes.
And the people that do that work, to what you were touching on before, Melissa, it should be noted. It's this whole thing where I think we can, a lot of people can agree that coal mining, it's not necessarily, that's not where our future lies.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we want to get rid of coal miners.
No.
We have no issue with coal miners and the people that are working those jobs and working their tails off at them and everything. I mean, some of the hardest working human beings that have ever been are coal miners.
Yeah, and the history of it is fascinating. If you go out west and you can tour some of the, you can tour actual mines.
Yeah.
It's crazy to go in down under the earth like that and then just look at the history of everything that they went through.
Just got to make sure that when we're doing such a good job of trying to move on from these resources and everything like coal, that we're giving people other places to put that type of work ethic into.
Yes.
Mitten Tree Day. I don't know what this one is. Mitten Tree Day. Mittens, we have all used them in our lives. Some of us probably still do. They are our favorite thing to use when making snowballs or making a snowman. They keep our hands warm from the cold and crunchy snow that we pick up. Yes, know what a mitten is. Why is it Mitten Tree Day? Why is it?
I think this is about donating.
We are here today to learn about a day that just this little colorful, fuzzy, and soft hand covers, a day called Mitten Tree Day. Created by school teachers as a way to have a fun Christmas time activity for the children to make while they were in school. Others would claim that the holiday was created because of a book with the title The Mitten Tree, which was written by author Candace Christensen. In the book, the main character, Sarah, is bundled up to walk through the cold winter weather, and on her trek, she sees a group of children playing, placing their mittens on a small dead tree. No matter where the origin of the holiday came from, children will always enjoy making little mitten trees. But what about mittens? Where do they come from? Well, mittens, it's derived from the old French word mitten, or mitaine, which was an old pet name for a cat Because back then, mittens were made of animal fur.
That's true. And mittens is a great name for a cat.
Isn't that funny how that is still one of the better names and one of the more popular names for a cat? That's interesting. You said about giving these away. Is that something that you've heard?
I've heard of, like, you know, giving trees where they have, like, things like that. I guess I thought maybe they do that with mittens.
I thought they went hand in hand. Yeah, I thought I see what you're saying there. And then went hand in hand.
And mittens go in hand. Yeah.
Jeez, that was bad. That's really bad.
But mittens do keep your hands warmer than gloves. Because with your fingers all together, the heat, they are a better way
mittens
to keep your hands warm.
Mittens are a much better way of snowball or a snowman doing those things, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. It is St. Nicholas Day. We were talking about this.
Yeah, did everybody put their shoes out last night?
Oh, yeah, did they? This is, although in the East, St. Nicholas Day is observed on December 6th in the West, although in the East, Christian countries, it is celebrated on the 19th. If you don't know who St. Nicholas is, you'll more than likely still know of this American version of Santa Claus or the British version of Father Christmas. The latter two give their presents on Christmas Day, but this saint gives his out on the 6th.
Early start.
Yeah. The actual St. Nicholas was a man born in Turkey during the Roman Empire, who lived the life of Christianity from a very young age. He is written off as being an especially beloved soul, caring for children and helping the poor and sick when he could. We couldn't pinpoint the exact date that St. Nicholas Day first came into being, but it seems that this day has been observed for a long time, honoring the saint that would become the basis for the beloved Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's interesting how each, you know, all the different cultures have their own traditions when it comes to our holidays.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough of it. I think it's just fascinating what we've done with all these stories and how we've how some have spun off of some and some have just organically just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm. And as they change as time goes on.
Again, you know, what we have accomplished, what we have done. Even just with our minds, with our imaginations, we look up, we look down all the time, go to the seas, how deep we've gone in them, how much we have uncovered of the earth, how far we have gone into the universe. We've done quite a bit in our own brains with just the stories we've created and the different things that we've done literature-wise. And,
right.
In order to get to those places I was just talking about, the math problems and problem-solving we've done.
Oh, yeah. And now with the spread of technology being what it is, we can share all of those different traditions worldwide.
And so much of that, Melissa, begins with just being able to tie your shoes. It's one of the first things we learned to do. It's one of the harder things we learned to do. Uh-huh. Think about it. I mean, tie your shoes is very easy for us as adults. Mm-hmm. But when you're first sitting there looking at that, like, wait, okay, over here, and then I go around here. And then, wait, no.
Haven't you ever had a day, though, as an adult where you just can't do it? Like, the ties slip out of your fingers and you can't quite get the... And you're like, what?
Not that
why is this hard?
Not that I'm going to admit. No, you're absolutely right. You were so right. It just happens, especially early in the morning when you first wake up, those moments where you, like, you forget... All right, how do I brush my teeth again? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I know how to do this.
I mean, you're hoping, like, nobody noticed. but as I was saying, it simply is tying your shoes. Sounds simple enough, and surely plenty of us do it every day. But put on your own shoes day is different. You really feel like braving the walk to walk in your work socks, but it seems that day, maybe not. Maybe you better walk in your own shoes. This is a day encouraging children to put on and tie their own shoes. There is very little information available about this day that we could get our hands on, and the jury is out on exactly what it means. It could be a metaphor for walking your own way in life, being independent, and being an individual. Could be a day to encourage children to tie up their own laces, or it could just be a day meant to observe the benefits and the style iconography of the humble shoe. Strange as it sounds, the history of footwear itself is exponentially varied and colorful. The first shoes were probably worn around 40,000 years ago. And they were Chuck Taylors. They were national.
Saddle
it's a fun
shoes.
One. Yeah, saddle shoes. Yes, National Pawnbroker's Day. That's a good one.
Interesting.
A difficult job. And it is gazpacho.
Gazpacho.
Yeah, National Gazpacho Day. Cold, delicious soup can be a refreshing alternative and bring joy to any table of gathering. Keep things interesting and celebrate this unique soup on National Gazpacho Day. Mm. A chilled vegetable soup with tomato base and roots in Spanish cuisine, gazpacho can be traced back to the region of Spain, where it was likely a food for peasants, vineyard laborers, or shepherds. The name of the soup likely derived from the Arabic term of soaked bread. This makes sense because original gazpacho soup was likely made from stale bread that was soaked in vinegar and water, then pureed with mortar and pestle.
Mm-hmm. Mortar and pestle.
Of course. Today it is made very differently.
Yes. I don't think I could eat cold soup.
I can't do it. No, can't do it.
I mean, I'd taste it. If I could have tomatoes, I would taste it.
But I've had it. It doesn't taste horrible. I'll say that.
But it's cold.
It's cold. Can't do it. Can't do it. Nope, not my
thing. I like soup when it's cold out, so I want warm soup.
Yes, exactly. Yes, same here. I'm a big fan of soup, but when it's cold. Mm-hmm. You will never probably see me eating soup on a hot summer day.
But to be fair, Spain is warm.
Right.
All the time.
You can't really wait for it to get cold.
No, so you kind of want something chilled, but you still want soup.
Right, yeah. That makes sense there. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have some more fun right here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. What are you laughing at?
That is one of my least favorite Christmas songs.
Oh, it is.
It's not the least favorite. It's one of them, though, because it doesn't sound like a rock song.
No.
Number one.
It's a little frustrating.
And it's Jingle Bell Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this melodic jingle bell. It just doesn't jive for me.
It should be Jingle Bell Yacht Rock. Like the 70s kind of like
folk song.
Something like that. You're so right.
I don't think it's wrong.
I don't think you're alone on this one. You definitely got partner. Like, I'm definitely with you on
all
that
right,
one.
Good. Let's start a petition.
I think it's only right. I think we should have been doing this a long time ago. Yes. Everybody, like, because everybody has at least a one to two, if not tons more than that, Christmas songs that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got at least one or two, if not more.
Drives them absolutely nuts.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes, I'm not going to tell you the one that I hate the most.
Well,
and hate is a strong word I don't use very often, but I really do very, very strongly dislike it.
I wasn't planning on this, but I'm going to call it audible here because I just remembered something from the weekend that I found out this weekend that I'm not very proud of to admit, but it's a That Ain't Right story, and I'm it. I'm the That Ain't Right story.
Oh, do share.
I've always loved The Little Drummer Boy.
Okay.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful little song. It just always hit me for mm-hmm. something about it. It's a sweet song. It's fun to sing to, I think. But yeah. As I got older and stuff, it started to hit my soul, it felt like. Like, it's the one Christmas song that kind of does.
Mm.
I couldn't place why or whatever. I like the song. And honestly, I think I like the singing along to it and all that.
Okay.
I am 40-some years old, and I just found out that The Little Drummer Boy is a religious song.
Oh.
I didn't know.
Really?
I didn't know what a drummer had to do with the Christmas. I just thought it was, it was something that was above my pay grade, and it was above my head. I didn't know. I didn't know he was playing for the baby Jesus and everything. I didn't know that. I swear to God, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's all right.
I feel very defensive and very bad about it, though.
I don't think you should.
Like, everybody in the world knew this but me. Like, I feel like
you're allowed to feel how you feel about it, but in your defense, hold on. Give me a minute. You said you're not a churchgoer, right?
True.
Okay. So any song that appears in a hymnal is a religious song.
Sure.
So I grew up going to church. That song was in the hymnal, so I knew it was a religious song.
Okay.
So in your defense, every artist has done that song.
Right. Yeah.
Every pop artist has done that song.
I never thought
So very likely the where you heard it, not in church, on pop radio.
Bing Crosby and David Bowie do it.
Exactly.
It's the first memory I have of it. Yeah.
All right.
So
I rest my case.
Thank you. Nicely done, Melissa. Wow, I actually feel a little better. I don't know if I should, but I do feel a little better. You're so good. That was great. Part of the reason I brought it up as I'm talking about it, like, oh, how she's going to defend me. I just don't know how. How's she going to figure this one out? Nicely done by you.
You're welcome.
Also, really good work being done by our friends over at Quality Foods IGA. They got a bunch of great things going on over there right now. Their holiday cookie walk, which we look forward to all the time, that is Saturday, December 10th from 10 to 2 over at their West Grand location only, so keep that in mind.
That's coming up soon. That's this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to go on while supplies last. $8.99 for a pound of cookies. It seems like a really good deal to me.
Yeah.
That seems like a very good one.
You can bake them for that.
And we understand that there are so many different things going on that this holiday season are pulling at you on. And if you're looking for, I don't know, Quality's complete Christmas dinner, well, you can get that from them.
Wow.
If you order, you got to order it by December 23rd, and you can pick it up by 3 o'clock on Christmas Day. Let them do the work. If you want a ham dinner, that'll serve 8 to 10 and features a great ham, off-the-bone ham. You've got beef gravy with that, mashed potatoes, homemade stuffing, King's Hawaiian rolls, green bean casserole, and 8 slices of variety cheesecake.
Whoa.
The prime rib dinner serves 3, and that's a 2-pound prime rib, 4-count 3 cheese twice, baked potatoes. You got some the Hawaiian rolls in there, green bean casserole, and some cheesecake.
Okay.
So that's more about the, you know, you and a friend or you and a significant other. Maybe you're just having Christmas together.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Christmas dinner, the ham dinner one.
Right.
Either of these are available for you. The ham dinner is $84. The prime dinner is $79.
Okay.
And you can order these at either the West Grand or Baker Drive locations. To order, call the West Grand location at 715-423-9750. That's 423-9750. Or the Baker Drive location at 423-8350. That is 423-8350. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA doing these kind of things. And, of course, giving us a chance to make you a qualifier for free ham.
Yes, free ham. But when does that order have to be in?
That order has to be in by December 23rd.
Wow.
Order by December 23rd is the on here. That's what they're saying.
That's decent.
That seems really nice.
Yeah, that's not that, like way close to Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty cool. And again, we'll be talking more about this as we go along because, of course, we're grabbing qualifiers every day for this free ham. Melissa, we are playing trivia to do this.
We are. We're going to ham it up.
Yes. Everybody get ready to call 424-2600 so you can answer this question for Melissa.
All right. So for Tuesday, December 6th, that's what day we're on. Yep.
good double check. Yes.
I did have to look. All right. So the question is, what sort of what sort of food is normally inside an advent calendar?
Ooh, that's a good
question. That's a good question.
I like that one. Ooh.
I don't know the answer to this
one. Okay, 424-2600. Melissa and I have no clue what the answer to this is. We need you to call up and tell us, everybody. So please call up 424-2600, and let's see if we got ourselves a qualifier. Good morning. What's your answer?
Is it candy?
I mean,
I would say yes.
Yeah, yeah. We already goes in.
We're going to
go with it. It's chocolate. Yes, that counts.
Chocolate's candy.
I'd say it counts.
Well, and don't advent calendars sometimes have like beer and wine in them too?
Oh, tons of stuff. I've seen a million different types
of
ones.
So this is way closer.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Nicely done. Can I get your first name?
Kelly.
Kelly. All right. Kelly, thank you so
much. Where are you calling from, Kelly?
Wisconsin Rapids.
Right on.
All right.
Got ourselves a Rapids winner. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for listening and playing along. You feel pretty confident about that one? Jumped on that right away.
Yeah.
Right on. Kelly, hang on the line a little bit. We'll get some information from you off air. But thank you so much for playing along. You're our most recent qualifier for our Quality Foods Christmas Ham Giveaway.
All right.
Yeah, right. And we're going to talk to Kelly in a second, but we do want to remind you guys, we're going to be playing Christmas food trivia questions right up until December 8th, right into the end. Was it December 18th, was it? No, 16th. I'm sorry. Friday the 16th. We will announce the winner on Monday, December 19th.
Awesome.
So keep on listening for that. We're going to catch up with Kelly right now. You guys stick back and get ready for more fun coming up here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 7:49 on the clock, and it is time to get into our biggest pet peeves in the airline world.
Oh, good.
This should be fun. A poll found our top airline pet peeves. Does it annoy you when people on a plane stand up in the aisle before it's their turn to get off? Or how about the guy who... He has to like stand there, like he's in the front of the plane, and he's got his luggage. He's all ready to go, but he's still sitting in aisle while everybody's kind of walking out. Have you seen this before?
Sitting in the aisle?
No, he's to the side in his seat where he was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But as he could have gotten out already, but everybody else, but he's still standing there. Yeah, like I've seen this at least two or three times before. Where and I don't know what this individual is doing. Sometimes maybe it's an air marshal or something, and I just don't know.
Or they're waiting for somebody from the back of the plane.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Or they're just not in a hurry.
I've seen it once or twice, but it was weird to me. I gotta say
that bothers me less than the people who get up before it's their turn.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. So here we go with the bunch of our biggest pet peeves in the flying skies. So it turns out 63% said yes in a new poll that they can't stand that person. 41% also find it annoying if people clap when the plane lands without crashing.
Well,
I've never experienced that. Wow.
If they had, you know, if there was some excessive turbulence or there was a reason.
Yeah, then I get it.
I mean, if it's just a normal flight, that's a little weird.
Yeah, no, that seems like they know something I don't. Yeah, right. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. No.
What happened while I was sleeping?
What I miss? You got to catch me up now.
Yeah, like, that must have been a big one.
I really don't want that to happen. But neither of those things made the list of our top airline pet peeves. So, let's see here. Number one, when the person behind you kicks your seat, usually a kid, but not always.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. Like, if they do it once or twice, that's understandable.
Yep. Yeah, but the consistency, yes.
Yes.
Line cutting. That includes people who try to cut at check-in and at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Not cool.
Mm-mm. When people are rude to airport staff and flight attendants,
yes.
That's my number one.
That is mine too.
That's my biggest one. I mean, we're all in the same boat here. Like literally, we're all in the same boat that's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a boat that's in the air. I mean, come on, get along. You know, bite your tongue.
And be respectful to the people that are trying to keep you safe and take care of you during the flight.
Well said. Yeah. People who stand up or who stand on moving walkways so you can't get by. You don't have to stop walking on those things, but if you do, move to the right.
Right. Meet space.
I run into those people every time I'm in a hurry, which is every time I've ever been in the airport in my life. I honestly believe that some people, like at LAX out in California, it happens so often to me that I believe there are people that are hired by LAX to just stand in the way as like some weird obstacle course to kind of give you something to do while you're running from, you know, lane to lane or, you know, spot to spot there and everything.
You know, James, I've solved the problem for that, though. You just run through the airport screaming like a crazy person.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Because you're, you know, whether you're late or not, people get out of your way.
It
works surprisingly well.
I will say, when you look like I do, there are certain things that do work for you. Very seldom. There are very few things in life that work out for you. This is one where me booking through an airport, people tend to get out of my way.
Yeah.
However, that means nothing because by the time I'm in line, I will guarantee you that I will be the guy pulled out of line. I will be that guy. Sir, would you mind? Yep, yep, I know how this goes. Yep. Every single time, it's like they look at my name and a little later on, huh, Maloff, that's Egyptian. That's a middle, wait a minute. And I have never complained once. I will never complain about
it's
that.
It's their job.
You know, safer skies.
You're still going to get on your flight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the thing about the people that get bent to that, because I've seen people get bent out of shape about it. And yeah, that's like you're still getting on the flight.
Right.
What are you doing? People who crowd the gate before it's time to board.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Yeah. Someone asking if you'll switch seats with them. I don't find that annoying.
Well, I mean, the only thing that bothers me about that is that, you know, you got to clear it with the flight attendant.
I won't do it. Yeah. If the flight attendant says it's okay or whatever and everything, then maybe I will. But even then, I don't know. There's too much, and I don't like looking at it this way or thinking about it this way, but those manifests that they have, mm-hmm. and if worst comes to worst or whatever,
yeah.
it's important to know where people are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stuff does matter.
But if there's a reason for it, like their child is sitting next to you and
completely
they want
different.
To sit by your their child, well, yeah.
Then
I mean,
I'll move.
If their significant other, I suppose. But if they're going to be annoying and talk the whole time, then I'm not going
to. Yeah, yeah.
I'm selfishly going to say, no.
Or if they just want the window seat, and I want the window seat, I'm not giving it up. No,
yeah,
I'm
no.
sorry. No, not just because you asked. No, not certain people, sure. There are certain times that I've done that before, but I'm not just because, no. So let's see. Strangers who force you into small talk on the plane.
Oh, yes.
That's not the worst person you could sit next to, though. The poll found 74% of us would rather deal with a nonstop talker than someone who stinks. I have mentioned before my troubling moment in because I've had some really good times flying. I mm-hmm. like flying. I enjoy flying. I like the whole process. Nobody likes standing in line for 5 hours and taking your shoes off and all that stuff. So put that aside.
Right.
Everything else about it, I really enjoy. I like, as strange as it may sound, I am kind of a people person. And I like to be around people. And those kind of moments where it seems weird. But everybody, for the most part, there are knuckleheads here and there and everything. For the most part, we're actually all getting along pretty darn good when you look at what an airport is.
Mm-hmm.
And how you've got people literally from all over the world, strangers, in a building. And we're all coordinating to get to where we need to be.
Right.
And trying to, you know, give each other enough grace to get to our thing, but also move past it and stuff. There's knucklehead and outliers here and there and everything. But it's pretty incredible what an airport actually is
right.
and how moving
yeah,
all those
logistically
moving,
wise, how incredible it is.
It's insane how that all works out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of cool how that happens. So that part of it I like. But man, that lady, that flight back from California, that little old sweet lady who I will always remember. I can picture her face right now. I did not even sit in my seat, and I could smell the curry reeking from her. And every 10 minutes, time.
She was so nervous, though.
She was so scared. She was so scared. And I the more I think about it, the more I look back, I feel like privileged to have been in that moment to mm-hmm. help somebody.
Yeah.
That's, like mileage have I gotten out of that story too? Like I got,
true.
Was like 15 years ago or something mm-hmm. like that. And I'm still talking about it. So I think we both got something out of the experience.
I think so. She probably remembers it too.
I hope so. I hope she remembers it too with fondly and not
yeah.
like, man, this Italian kid that I kept on asking things like he was very annoyed with me. He was. I hope that not the case.
But as far as the small talk goes, there's only so much of it that I would want to engage in, especially in a really long flight. If you're on like a 7-hour flight, a little bit of talk, fine. But if I'm reading my book and I have my earphones in, please don't talk to me.
My sister was making fun of me this weekend about this because I told her, I'm like, this is AirPod mode. I put my earpods in the second I, because she, I've flown out of Madison a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I will stay at Jill's overnight or something like that and leave. And as soon as I'm getting out of her car, I'm putting in those headphones.
Yeah.
As soon as I get in, because I want to, what I was just saying before about all those people liking people and seeing all this stuff and everything I do, I want to observe it. I don't want to interact with you. If I have to, if we need to, sure, that's fine. And I'm not against that, being social or anything. But if I have my choice, I'm just, it's all headphones the whole time that I'm going here and everything, nonstop, in and out and right until I get to the next car I got to go to or whatever. That's how I experience that. That's what
yeah.
I enjoy.
Yeah.
But some people, you're right. The small talk is part of why they fly to interact with others. They'd just drive a car if they wanted to be like me or something. Also, 54% would rather sit next to a dog than a baby, but 55% would rather be next to a crying baby than a fighting couple.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The fighting couple.
That would be awful.
The crying baby I can handle.
Well, yeah, because it's an experience. you know, they have no idea what's going on, and babies cry.
Man, these couples, though, they can't, like, just put a pin in it for 2 hours. Just, I mean, the argument's going to be there when you get off the plane.
Yep.
Strangers on the plane don't need to hear, you know. And it seems like the couple times I can think of this, one time it bled from the, like, holding area right to on the plane.
Yeah.
And the other time it seemed like, because I couldn't help it, they're right behind me and they're talking. And it's like, this couple must have been together for like 20 some years and they're rehashing stuff, like bringing
that
stuff up.
That happened a decade ago.
Yeah, like they've been sitting on this just wait. Oh, I've been waiting to tell you about this one. Like,
but that time that you didn't take out the trash when I asked you to.
Holy cow. I mean, that it was like one of the first flights I took. I was like 17 or something.
Oh, wow.
And I can still remember those two behind me. Just
like, this is what it's like always. I'm never flying again.
I'm lucky I ever dated again after hearing those two.
Well, that's almost as bad as a couple that was next to me, and they're just, she's going on and on and on about these other soccer moms, and just talking about, can you believe that she just like, on and on and on, and her husband, who asked if somebody would move so he could sit beside her, is like encouraging this conversation. He's not adding anything to it.
No.
He's just like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You don't say.
That's
really?
Too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, seriously? For that? You wanted to have that conversation?
People drive us crazy. Take a break. We'll come back. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club and much more coming up for you. We're also going to hear from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center right here on WFHR.